From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels, Angels,
to the sound bites you need to hear.
Hurry, hurry!
It's Quick Hits.
All right, there's a lot of things we could lead with, but UNC and Bill Belichick got waxed by Central Florida this weekend. But the big story was Bill's PDA fest with his 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, which is still very, very gross. John Gruden went on Wake Up Barstool to give his take on the situation.
I've never seen anything like that. You know, Mike Lombardi works for North Carolina. I've heard him criticize me several times. I'm sure he'll produce a TikTok today explaining exactly what was going on there.
All right. One, Gruden had no analysis in the situation, and he existed only to take a petty shot at Mike Lombardi, which is why we played that. But given how, I mean, they got waxed. It wasn't even close. They've now gotten waxed in two of their four games. Will Bill Belichick be one and done at UNC?
I think that the only way that you keep him around is if you're just doing it for the attention factor of it, right? Like, or trying to give him room to build a program, but I don't even think that's what Bill wants to do. I still can't get over the fact that Gruden said TikTok. Like he had never done it. Like, he doesn't work in the world of media for bars, so he goes, TikTok.
Even if he said, even what he said about Mike Lombardi sounded like he was saying his name in a very personal way. I think one of these two things has to break. Either Bill at UNC or Bill's relationship with a toddler. Because I don't think both things can succeed into year two. It's apparent. And listen, Bill likes, there's a reason Ernie Adams worked for him for 40 years. Bill likes to have somebody. No, he likes to be surrounded by yes men and guys who do what he says. That being said, college is so much more sensitive than the NFL. And I don't think there's a person in the media that's covering UNC that wants him to succeed. Everyone seems to want Bill to fail at North Carolina. And that is a huge change from where we were when he took the job 11 months ago.
Yeah, I think we're in a spot right now with Bill where it's just, I don't know how you sit there and you see the fiasco that goes on and you want it to continue. I don't see it.
Omaha!
All right, let's take things to the NFL, where Deion Sanders sat down with Jason and Travis Kelce and had a conversation about Adam Schefter's report on whether or not the Ravens actually called and maybe why Shador Sanders is actually in Cleveland.
Have you been keeping up with Shador in Cleveland? What's the best piece of advice you've given him as a dad and as a coach?
Be patient and be ready. You got to be ready when it's time. But when it's time, you're going to know. And it's coming up. You know, I got a prediction. I ain't telling nobody. I got a feeling when it's going to go down. But it's going to go down this year.
It's going to happen. All right.
Yeah, he's going to get a shot.
Should Browns fans feel any differently about the fact that Shador's basically just here based on opportunity and he was turning down other teams because he's a backup?
No, they shouldn't. There will be some people who didn't like Shador who will feel some sort of way. But no, by the way, it was awful advice from Deion. Because you know if this happens in the fifth round, you know there were other opportunities probably earlier in the draft. And Deion's handling of this, I think, is why Shador was a fifth rounder. But that being said, like, Deion says a lot of stuff, and I'm like, I don't think you know what the hell you're talking about. I think in this case, he's right. I still think there's, unless they go off on a tangent and they win 9-10 games, and maybe 7 or 8 games, yeah, I think at some point you're going to see Dylan, and some point after that, you're probably going to see Shador.
Yeah, I just don't know, and we know, I'm a Shador guy. I like Shador. I think Shador has a really good chance to succeed in the NFL. I still don't know that coming in and being quarterback 3 at that point is your best opportunity to put stuff on film. I mean, we see quarterback injuries every year. Like, you have multiple backups starting this week. There are, what, 4 backup quarterbacks off the top of my head that started in week 2? You went and, you know, I don't know if the Bengals gave him a call, but if they did, it's like you could be starting for a prolonged period of time right now, right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think they looked at Cleveland and said about 3 or 4 quarterbacks generally play in a year. Shador will get a chance. And in fairness, I do think that kid just needs an opportunity to show he can play, because I think at the end of everything else around him, all the circumstances might help him, might hurt him, whatever. I think he's just a football player, and I think he just needs to play. Another week, another Baker game winning drive as the Bucs outlasted the Jets 29-27 yesterday. After the game, Baker broke down why this was a special win for him and the Bucs.
I loved it. And it's also, their D coordinator was the one that cut me in Carolina. So it was a lot of stuff was personal today. Hassan Reddick, former Jet, a lot of people.
Massive revisionist history there by Baker. But Steve Wilks was the head coach in Carolina, the interim head coach when Baker was cut. Baker's response, charming or chotch?
I think because of the reality of it, kind of chotch. Like, did Baker, tell me if I'm wrong, he requested to be cut by the Carolina Panthers.
Yes, and Steve Wilks actually didn't want to cut Baker, but did it because it was right for Baker.
Yeah, he did the right thing by his player. Like, I don't like that at all. Like, most of the times I do think, you know, the extra motivation, the extra step Baker's willing to go, like when he pops up after hurting his ankle and is yelling at CJ Gardner-Johnson and he goes through and does the rah-rah stuff, I think it leans more charming than Chalk. This one is the complete opposite way, though.
Everything is charming when you're 3-0. So is it wildly unfair to Steve Wilks, who's one of the few truly, truly good men in all of sports? Yes, 100%. But Baker's 3-0. Baker won. And if this was in Cleveland, we'd be having a good laugh about this, right?
Yeah, I think that's the difference. It's like I take it from the NFL view of like just looking at the reality where if it was Baker in Cleveland, I'd feel that way. I always say any motivation you can get to put another chip on your shoulder as an NFL player, take it and run with it because you got to fight for those week in and week out. I just think I look at it from the whole scale view and I'm like, really? You had to deceive folks like that when he has actually a pretty good deal?
Omaha!
All right, let's go. Brian Daboll, for the very first time when asked today about who the quarterback was going to be next week, gave a non-answer and they're evaluating everything. He was also asked about how they're evaluating when Jackson Dart's going to be able to go, and he gave this response.
Has he checked off all the boxes for you? Like, has he done all the, has he reached all those checkpoints that you would feel confident of making that decision if that's the decision you make to go with him?
Well, we put him in the game for the last 2 weeks, so we wouldn't put anybody in the game we don't feel confident with.
Nick, would you be making the change right now off of Russ, and is Brian Daboll already alluding to the fact that that's happening?
It's tough because I just don't think – I just wasn't a Jackson Dart fan. Then again, I wasn't a Dylan Gabriel fan, and we might be getting there in about 10 minutes. Man, Russ has looked incredibly cooked. Like, incredibly, incredibly, incredibly cooked. The one thing I will say is he had a good game last week.
Yeah, really good game.
And so I don't know one bad game against a team that was in the Super Bowl last year, no matter they came into that game winless. I don't know one. I think you give him at least one more game and just see. Because even if all your every other game Russ actually balls out, you'll take that. Whereas you can go to Jackson Dart, and if you have to go back to Russ 3 weeks from now or to Jameis, whatever, you could start to do the quarterback seesaw, which prematurely ends your season.
Yeah, I don't know. This situation feels oddly similar to the one the Browns are in, where it's obviously Dart was a first-round pick, Gabriel's a third-round pick, but it's young quarterback that they clearly have a ton of confidence in, clearly like, and by the way, your starter's not playing so hot, and people are calling for his job. Feels like the Giants are just the team making the move faster.
Omaha!
We're on fickle watch in Camp Randall after Wisconsin got popped by Maryland. That's Maryland football, not Maryland basketball. 27-10 over the weekend. The Wisconsin 80, Chris McIntosh, former great offensive lineman, was seen watching Badgers volleyball. Okay. With former NFL head coach Mike McCarthy. Does Mike McCarthy to Wisconsin make sense to you?
I think just about anything to Wisconsin makes sense. Like, they look horrible this year. They've not done anything offensively. A team that's usually very stout on the offensive line, very stout, you know, at least in the defensive front for the most part. They've really done nothing. Like, they don't look like they're a team that's taking it to anybody. Maryland, a team that you don't lose to if your name's Wisconsin. Mike McCarthy, I think, even is looking at a college coach, is a guy who kind of goes back to the old brand of football, which in a weird way fits with what Wisconsin has done in the past and probably what they want to continue to do.
Yeah, it's weird. With McCarthy, I think he's somehow the most overrated and underrated head coach that I've ever seen. Now, the one thing I will say is he doesn't have the Wisconsin bona fides. And that's a school where being a Wisconsin guy goes farther, much like we've been with Ohio State for a very long time. Michigan's the same way. I kind of think it makes sense, though. I mean, Luke Fickell's biggest issue was he hired Phil Longo, who I think North Carolina might have fired if he didn't get hired there, because Phil's not a great play caller. And then he follows that up with another uninspiring play caller. In this era, it makes sense to go on offense and somebody who might have an insight on quarterback play. I don't think it's the worst idea. I'd still probably go to Leonard, who used to be the defensive coordinator there. There's a couple other guys who I think you might make more sense to go to, but I mean, might not be a Wisconsin guy, but Packers fans know him. I think it's worth a chance because you need something. If you're not going to go find the next Lance Leipold or you know whatever the next Cignetti, which I think Fickell was supposed to be, going to a little flash there might not be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy's looking for the job, isn't he? He's looking for just about anything at this point of a head coach.
Now, you can't trust what he says. If he says, I've really done a deep dive into analytics, and I'm here to bring analytics to Wisconsin. Don't let him fool you on that one. He got Jerry Jones on that one. 216-474-0092. Does Mike McCarthy to the college game make any sense to you? In a weird way, if that's where Wisconsin goes, kind of does make sense for me. And Kevin Stefanski's honest moment. How honest was he really about Joe Flacco? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.